trust ourselves now to this time through prayer. Lord God, time is yours. You are the eternal one. And so we thank you that you have given us this time, this moment, in this place, that we might hear these words from you. We pray, God, that you would prepare us to hear. Help us to put aside anything that would distract us from hearing you. Then we pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I did a wedding yesterday and came across this great story. Don't give the punchline, Corey. It's a little story about a devout Christian man. His wife and his mother-in-law, they went on a vacation of a lifetime to the Holy Land. Well, unfortunately, as sometimes things go, while there, his mother-in-law passed away. The mortician told the married couple that they could have her shipped home, but it would cost them $10,000. Or, he said, you could simply have her buried here in the Holy Land for $150. Well, the man was grieving and concerned, and he thought about it. He told the mortician that, you know, we're going to have her shipped home. Well, the mortician was a bit surprised about this and asked, sir, why would you spend $10,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be wonderful to have her buried right here in the Holy Land? And it would only cost you $150. Well, the man looks at the mortician and replied, well, a man died here, yes, 2,000 years ago. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the dead, and, well, I just can't take that chance. Oh, it's horrible. Is that a horrible one? That is horrible. So I'm toying with the idea of starting this sermon at 11 o'clock in the same way, but my mother-in-law is going to be there. So I'm not sure if that's wise, but I'll probably do it anyway. You might be thinking, well, what does that have to do with our text today? We're in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, where we are reminded that following Jesus requires that we take chances, that we risk, that we put ourselves out there for the sake of advancing his kingdom and preaching his name. And in today's text, we are reading about the apostles who are taking great chances, great risk, to do what God has told them to do. Unfortunately, we jump in at the middle of the story in verse 29, so I'm going to give you the first half of the story. Jesus has been raised from the dead. The disciples, as we read in our gospel text, have been sent out. Jesus said to them, I'm sending you out. And so they are being sent out to Jerusalem. Soon they will be going to Antioch and to the ends of the earth. And so they're beginning to preach the gospel, the good news of the new life in Jesus Christ. And yet the religious leaders, the same religious leaders who had difficulty with Jesus, and yes, crucified him, are now imprisoning the disciples, the apostles who are preaching the same message of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, no less. And so Peter and a couple of the other apostles are imprisoned for their faith. And so the religious leaders are assembling and have Peter and the other apostles come before the Sanhedrin, that's the ruling council in Jerusalem. The disciples have said, we must obey God rather than human beings. During the trial, the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin in particular, as we read then, or heard read by Kathy this morning, was the opportunity for these religious leaders to do to the apostles what they had already done to Jesus, and that is put them to death. But there's a wise religious leader, Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a teacher, a rabbi, one of the ruling, the Sanhedrin. he actually instructed Paul, the apostle, in faith to be a Pharisee. So Gamaliel warns the other religious leaders to leave the apostles alone. And did you pick up on what he said? Very wise words from this learned and wise rabbi. He says, if their purpose, speaking about the apostles of Jesus, if their purpose or activity is of human origin, did you hear what he said about it? It will fail. If this is something concocted by the apostles, then it's not going to get anywhere. It will stop. It won't continue. But, he says, if this is from God, meaning if they're preaching, if they're advancing the kingdom of the Lord, if their new life in Christ that they are proclaiming to others is indeed true, then he says to the religious leaders, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. And Gamaliel persuades the religious leaders, and they let the apostles go. Isn't that interesting? It's an interesting story of the beginning of the proclamation of the name of Jesus and the new life in Christ. And it's a great reminder for us today. The religious leaders learned a valuable lesson from this wise teacher. And if you're doing your work, it will fail. But if you're doing God's work, there will be no way anyone can stop it. If you try, you'll only be fighting against God. So how do we take this and apply it to our own lives this morning? You know, that's really the goal of scripture reading and uncovering God's word. Not to just hear about a story that happened 2,000 years ago about some faithful and obedient followers. No, but to be those faithful and obedient followers today. So what might we learn? I think there are three things here at least. I'll cover three this morning. The first is a reminder that God has a work for us to do. And when I say us, I mean you. I mean you, I mean me, I mean Pastor Corey. I mean anyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus has been enlisted into the fellowship of the body of Christ, Paul says. And as one who is in the fellowship of the body of Christ, as one who is a follower of Jesus, we are like the disciples, the 12, the apostles, we are sent out by Christ. Again, Jesus says to the disciples as he reveals himself to them, says to them, basically, you have a work to do. I am sending you out. We know that this proclamation, this commandment of Jesus, comes at the very end of the book of Matthew, also at the end of the book of Luke. We commonly refer to this command, the last command Jesus gave the disciples, the followers that are Christians, as recorded in Matthew 28, verse 19. He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them what I have taught you. And lo, I will be with you always to the end of the age. We refer to this as the Great Commission, the commissioning of the disciples. And it was in the early church that the 12 apostles are being sent out. And in every generation of Christendom since, we are sent out to baptize and to teach. And this work isn't generally for everyone as much as it is specifically for you. Did you know that? That God has a call on your life. That God, through the person of Jesus Christ, is sending you out into a world in desperate need. I've been fascinated by God's strategy for communicating the gospel, that is, the good news. If God wanted to, he could send legions of angels. If God wanted to, he could continue to preach and proclaim through prophets. If God wanted to, he could prepare special people to preach in his name. But he's done none of those things. God has chosen us. This is God's plan A. Doesn't add up to me. But he has no plan B. You, each one of you, are being sent into the world to do God's work. That work's going to be different for many of us. It's going to be different for you as it is for me, as it even is for Pastor Corey. And I remember, and God sometimes changes that work over the years. I remember having left my first congregation, and I was praying and diligently seeking what God was going to have me and Jeanette do for our next call. And my mentor, Pastor Paul Spaulding, comes up to me. It was at coffee hour in between services. And I was standing on the patio, and he was in an alb like this, having preached. And it was like he was levitating over towards me. I couldn't see his feet, but it's just like he was floating across the patio. And I have a styrofoam cup of coffee. I'm thinking, starting to shake. I'm like, well, this is kind of a weird thing. And he comes and he says to me, and we're friends, we talk all the time, and he's not short of words typically. And he says to me, Steve, I think you should start a church. And then he turns around and floats away. That's all he said. No, you know, good morning, glad to see you, enjoy your cup of coffee, you know, none of that stuff. I think you should start a church. It was 2 weeks later that my brother Mike came up to me out of the blue, and he said, Steve, I think you should start a church. To which I said, but I don't know anything about starting a church. I don't have the slightest clue as to what that looks like. I don't know even where to start. He said, well, we should just start, because I think God is calling us to do this. His line that came next was straight out of this passage. I don't think he knew it. I didn't know it at the time. But he said, what's the worst that can happen? It fails. It doesn't happen. You see, he was reminding me, I should say, God was reminding me through my brother's words, that if this was indeed of God, if Pastor Paul was right and my brother was right, and as God revealed it to me, I was right, and then our steering committee, 12 of us that met in a home, if we were right, then God would bless this and there would be no stopping it. But if it was not of God, if it was somehow our own work, then it would fail. And either way was okay for me. God has a work for you to do. And if you don't know what that work is, ask him. What do you have for me? Number two, we learn from this text, the story, that you or others may also have a competing work to that which God is calling you. In this text, the religious leaders were speaking a different message than Jesus was speaking to the apostles. And so they had on the one side Jesus saying, go, make disciples, I'm sending you out. And on this side they have the religious leaders. By the way, this is still a Jewish movement. You realize that Jesus and the disciples did not set out to start a new religion. They were within Judaism to transform Judaism, to understand that Jesus was the Messiah. That's what Jesus says. This is what you are to preach. And so now we have this other group that are saying a competing thought. Jesus says, preach, be sent. The other group is saying, you better just shut your mouths and don't speak in the name of Jesus. And it's often true for us that we have those competing works that are going on. I remember that I had plans, I had strategies, I had ideas for this new church, especially as it pertained to how we would structure and organize and do the work of the Lord. But I tell you what, my plans, my strategies, my ideas, they failed at every turn. And God made that really clear. So as a steering team, we continued to do our best, but at the end, we surrendered to God's will and His work. And this church that still meets today, they're meeting this morning, as we do, I'm sure still are fighting against their competing plans. Oftentimes, others have competing plans. This is what's happening with the disciples. They weren't fighting amongst themselves. They had others that were telling them not to do what the Lord had called them to do. Others came to City on a Hill with plans and ideas and thoughts. Most of them were church people, and we didn't look like a church. We met in a church. We didn't have a building. We met in a school. We didn't have a building. And you know what? They still don't today. They meet in a school in Torrance, California. And so people have other ideas and thoughts, and we have to sort through those to know. And so our lesson for today is threefold. First is that God has a plan for you to do work. And that includes you being sent into the community to preach that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah. Number two, you or others may have competing work that goes against what Jesus is calling you to do. And then lastly, remember this important truth, that God's work will always win out. Always. Gamaliel said it, and it was true in that day, and just as much true for us today. If what you're doing is of the Lord, there will be no stopping it. But if it's your work, it will certainly fail. Sometimes it's hard to tell what to do. Sometimes we don't have that clear idea what God is sending us out to do or how He's encouraging us to proclaim that the kingdom has come. And so we pray, and so we depend on wise counsel, and then we begin our steps towards the work of God. How do we know it's God's work? Well, it works out. If it's not, it doesn't work out. It was a couple, maybe even a few years ago, that I had a great idea that I thought came from the Lord. And I sat down with the staff in a staff meeting, and I pitched this idea. I said, what if we did Hebrews Cafe outside during the summer? Now, every one of the staff said, that won't work. I didn't listen. I said, well, how do we know it won't work? And they said, well, it's too hot, it might rain, it's too hot. I don't know if people will go outside, it's hard to get the food out there, it's too hot. Anytime someone says to you something, you know, thrice, you might want to pay attention. I said, well, have we ever done it before? They said, no, because it's too hot. I said, well, let me be the judge of that. Not my most shining moment in life. So as lead pastor, I said, we're doing it. Well, we're not doing it. It turns out it was too hot. My point is this. If our work is our work, and not a work of the Lord, even if it's done in the church, even in maybe especially if the senior pastor has a bugaboo about this thing, it's got to happen. If it's not of the Lord, it won't work. And I look at that failure and I say, praise God. Because if it's not a God work, it's got to go away. We have no business doing it. And so if I ever get that bee in my bonnet again. Friends, remind me, it's too hot. But then there are things that we do here at Richland Lutheran that, again, we don't know if it's a work of the Lord or if it's our own work. So as one of those things was when I first got here, I thought, well, why don't we partner with a local school and provide a need for them? So myself and Norm Gillette, we went down to Jefferson and we met with the principal and the counselor there. And they said, well, how about if you come and help kids who are behind their reading level, you know, tutor them? I said, okay, we'll give that a try. We didn't really know if it was of the Lord. We were praying that it would be. Well, after we got started, and we just got started, we didn't even have a leader at our first meeting. And so we met, we prayed, we began to do that work. And guess what? It is still blessing kids today. We're still meeting there every week to teach kids how to read. If it's of God, you won't be able to stop it. If it's your work or another, well, it's going to fail. And failure is okay in the church, because that's how sometimes God communicates to us, well, I want you to do something different. Friends, being a Christian means risk. It means taking chances. It means being out there in the world. You know, coming to church and sitting once a week or once in a while, that's not enough. Discipleship requires more. The Bible's clear. The disciple of Christ is risking, is taking chances. It is a gift to us that we're not risking our lives or imprisonment as the 12 did, but we risk nonetheless. And so be reminded today that God has called you, given you a work to do in His name, to proclaim His name, and that others may be competing for that work around you or discouraging you from doing it. But in the end, if it's a work of the Lord, it will work. And if it's not, it will fail. But either way, God's name will be made known and His kingdom advanced. For what else are we here for? Amen. Please stand now as then we sing together our hymn.